Today's daf is Masechet Shavuot. We're holding the second parak on daf Yud Zayin, and we got up to Bo'i Rava on the bottom of Tet Zayin Amud Beit, and we're holding in the middle of this sugya, whose makor is essentially Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. We know that there is a iser that's clear of Tumat Mikdash and Mikdash Hashem Timei, Mishkan Hashem Timei. All these things we learned. However, there's also a special halacha to someone who did not come into the Beit HaMikdash B'tum'ah at all, and rather became Tameh while he was in the Beit HaMikdash, which is very different than the regular understanding that we have of Lo Yitamu et Machaneihem. And the question over there is, the Makor, the Torah, doesn't seem to be clear. It seems to be Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, of this din of how long you stayed in Betumah. Some of you stay in there a long time, and that Shehiyah we spoke about yesterday was Kedei Yishtach Avoya. We learned out there's two types of Yishtach Avoya. If you do a true Yishtach Avoya, then it's talking about, meaning facing the Heichal. Then it could be talking about even a very brief Yishtach Avoya, meaning just Kriya B'Alma, without bending yourself and putting Yishtach Yadayim V'Raglayim, spread-eagling on the floor. Mashen Ken, if you're not doing a true Yishtach Avoya, meaning you're facing the other direction, over there there's a Shehiyah that is defined by the time that it would normally take to do a full Yishtach Avoya, Yishtach Yadayim V'Raglayim. Now, we also learned in the Mishnah a different halacha, which seems to be unrelated to Shehiyah, at least on the surface, and that is the difference between Balo Ba'aruka or Balo Biktzara, which is what derech do you take in leaving? Do you take the closest route or do you take a further route? Now, it's not clear whether that was a din in the amount of time, and it was part of the halachas of Shehiyah, or it's a new halacha in roots. And this entire concept is exactly where it comes from. In other words, we know there must be halacha L'Moshe Misinai about this Shehiyah business. And the question is it a din particularly in the Tumat Mikdash V'Kedoshav? Is it a din in any type of Tum'ah, let's say Nazir, it would be such a halacha? Is it a din in anything that was done by your ones, and then is now in a passive state, so that let's say you find out you're wearing kalayim, there's a passivity there. Is there an amount of time in which you need to get rid of the kalayim? Or the other case we had in the Mishnah, a man discovers he's in the middle of intercourse with a nida. Is there a passive time that he's allowed to stay in the nida? He has to go out of the... All of this is not clear. The Mishnah relates to two cases. But is it related in terms of Shehiyah, or is there some other interrelationship? And of course, this borders on other questions, because if there's a din of Shehiyah per se, so then that would mean, apparently, that there is a way to be Chayav Malkus, passivity. What you're doing is passivity, pure passivity. What you're doing now, staying, and you should have been leaving. Staying and should have been leaving is a Chayav Malkus. Maybe it's only a din in Korban. The Mishnah didn't say clearly what it's talking about, Malkus or Korban. Then, of course, it borders on another question, which is, if you have something that is defined by time, like we have by Notar, we always considered it that it's an issue also of Hatra'at Safek. Because when is the instant that you're going to tell the person you are now about to be over on something? I am not. I'm about to leave. So, I mean, there's nothing that I'm doing that makes it clear I'm about to be over something. How can you possibly give a hatra'ah when a person's not doing something? You're telling him, well, if you don't do something, what's that supposed to mean, if I don't do something? What makes you think I'm not doing something? What are you relating to in my activity that is a hatra'ah to me? That, there are other ways of learning hatra'at safek that obviate the problem. But assuming that that's the approach, so then there should be no way of being chayav mal, because that's surprisingly, today's question begins with an assumption. Boy Rav, tzarich shiyala malkot, or ain't tzarich shiyala malkot? Now this is strange, because he's taking for granted a chiyav malkot there definitely is, even though it's passive. The question is whether the chiyav malkot is for not leaving immediately, or there's the same din of shiyah that defines what tumah b'mikdash means when it was originally tumah in the azara itself. So, l'korban gemiri shiyah, l'malkot lo gemiri shiyah. Is this whole halacha din in korban, but not in malkot? Or is it just the din in bifnim gemiri shiyah? Lo shal korban, lo shal malkot. Now again, He's not really offering us all the options because he's assuming it would be Bifnim. It may not even be dependent on Bifnim, which we're going to see. But assuming that any type of tumah, dinim of tumah that are inside of the Mikdash are defined by Shehiyah, and just like the korban of tumat Mikdash u'kedoshav is defined by Shehiyah when the tumah was inside, ba'ones, without your having done anything. We'll talk about b'mezid later. So too the malchus would be. Now Tosu says that Enochinami, it may well be that the whole sugi is going according to Mandiyama, who holds that you're able to be chayav on a lav shepo maase. Or maybe the meaning of Lamalkus means Leisra Malkut, as we discussed earlier in Malkus, where we use the word loosely. It was Rava himself, actually. But you could do something to be chayav five times Malkus, it turns out he really meant it. Isra Malkut means really. Asiyah Malkus, maybe that's what it's referring to. So again, those issues we're not going to get into over here because the Gemara ignores it. Somehow we're taking for granted that we can get around the problem or limited to the Mandi Omar who isn't concerned for either Hatrat Safek or Lav She'en Bo Maaseh. But the question stands, taken. We don't know the answer to what the Halakha L'Moshe Misinai defined. Was it a din in Bifnim or was it a din in Karbonos? Furthermore, Boy Rav, I have another question, which is, Talat Mo Ba'avir Azara Ma. How about if a guy levitates in the Azara and he's not in contact with the ground? Either he's good at levitation, or he's good at hanging at flagpoles when he lands with his parachute as a tongue, whatever the case is, but his feet are not touching the ground. Or he's getting so high on the Kalbach songs that must have been there that he's simply flying. Anything can happen. So the question, what is my question?
You said it from a rope as well?
Yes. Hanging from a helicopter, however it is. How he's doing it is, but I mean, it could be hanging by his own petard, having tried to jump into place. So, hoisted, correct. So, ki gemire shia. My question is like this. Is the din of shihia related to the din of ishtach avoya, or is it only linked to the shir of ishtach avoya? If shihia is related to ishtach avoya, then only a shihia that would allow you to be mishtachave would be a shihia. But a shihia in mid-air, where you couldn't be mishtachave, because by definition you have to be in contact with the ground, to be mishtachave would not even be called a shihia. So ki gemiri shihia, shihia the bat ishtachava. But the lav bat ishtachava, lo gemiri at all, maybe that's not even called a shihia. Maybe it's linked to the act, at least in potential, of ishtachavoya. Or, again, is it just a halacha, bifnim, gemir shia, irrelevant of the issues of ishtachavoy or not? Loshna de bat ishtachava'a, loshna de lav bat ishtachava'a. That, too, is taken. Boy, Ravash, I have another issue. How about if a guy was bitame atzmo b'mezit? Now the guy is tame. Okay. So now the question is, if he doesn't go out at this point, so is he now involved in the Isser of Lo Yitamut Machanehem, which we've redefined by the act of Shia, so that this din, when your Tomei inside, defines what it means to be over on the Isser of Tuma. And so even if he didn't amaze it, maybe there's still a din of Shia. So Mao, Ba'onez Gemiri Shia, in other words, there's two ways of being Chayav. By walking in Tomei, or by staying in a Shir of Shia Tomei. But by being Tomei, you're not going to be over, even if you did a b'mezid. Or is the way to understand shihiyah that since the person was not in his own control when something touched him and made him tame, or when he had come into the Beit HaMikdash, let's say, as tame, but he was b'shidat evav l'migdal, this was in a helicopter. Somebody comes along now and opens the door to the helicopter, which now allows him to be in the Mikdash, b'tuma. So there, again, the actual kenisa was not machai of him. There you have a din of Shia, but if you actually made yourself tummy, maybe you don't need a din of Shia. This is my question. Ma, ba'onez gemir Shia when it's not through any fault of his own. So now the Torah says, well, if you stick around anyway, that's unacceptable. Or, but I mean, it's certainly nothing to be amazed. Be amazed to go mir Shia. The Torah says, you can't be matami, the migdash, what's up? You go in tummy, you make yourself tummy. Oh, dilma bifnim gemir Shia. Shia, lo shna ba'onez, lo shna b'mezid, or is it a halacha in the actual hal tuma bifnim? What it means to be metame bifnim is being there tame, not making yourself tame. Take that too, stands. Boy Ravashi, can this din of Shia be extended outside of bifnim bichlal? No, there's, okay, everybody's been taking now so far one approach, which is there's a special halacha that is said legabi the Migdash, which is halacha l'bashim Sinai, called lo yatamot machaneya. I mean, the truth is that there are extensions to the din of tumah b'machana. If you take a look in Parshat Nasot, where the din of tumah b'machana is said, so the very next halacha is the din of nazir, because nazir essentially duplicates the tumah b'machana. It's just the nazir becomes the equivalent of a kohen anywhere. So, I mean, he's not, even if he's not a Kohen, he is given this din now of Kedusha. So maybe there's a din of a Nazir too. Let's say a Nazir is transported into a Beit HaKvarot in a helicopter. Somebody comes along, opens up the door of the helicopter, he's shouting, don't open that door, somebody opens the door. Now he becomes Tomei. Is there an Isra for him to stay there, the amount of time, and then he'll be over on the Isra of a Nazir being Tomei? So, Boi Ravashi, Nazir Bekever, Boi Shiela Malkot, oh, perhaps Eino Tzorech. Maybe he doesn't need Shiyah. Maybe Bifnim Gemiri Shiyah. Bechutz Lo Gemiri Shiyah. There's no Shiur of Shiyah anywhere else but in the Beit Mikdash. Or is the definition of Shiyah any Ones in which you are now in a state of passively continuing to be over an Isser? I mean, you're not doing anything, and you got here through no fault of your own. So maybe this whole halacha of Shiyah is applied across the board for any type of ones. It defines the state of ones. And that would, what do I care? Lo shel bifnim, lo shel bechutz. That's not the issue. The issue is how to define the ones. Take. That too is not clear. Now Tosis points out that when it came to kilayim, we had the whole discussion of kilayim, it was the question of, at least you got to remove the sleeve, put it back on again. It was a question, you have to take off your whole shirt, or just pull your sleeve off and put your sleeve back on. But we didn't discuss Shiyah. We discussed some kind of act. Remember, we were talking about if you were drinking wine kol hayom as a nazir, and we compared it to haya lavush kelayim kol hayom. What does that mean, lavush kelayim kol hayom? I mean, you didn't do anything new, but a nazir you were drinking. So remember that we discussed over there the question of what makes it a new levishat kelayim. It perhaps is a din of Shiyah, the amount of time that you could have taken off the clothing and put it back on. And there would be multiple Isurim. Again, this goes back to how we understand the Sugya before. If we take it literally, we take it the sheer of Shiyah, such a thing. Or, the Gemara's question over here, is Dafka something that relates to Tumas Pnim, or at least to Tuma, such as the Nazir, which I can understand is Nogea. The issue of Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, Levishas Kelayim, maybe Bechlal is not Nogia. Again, the strange way that the Gemara interrelated Shiyah with Nida to Shiyah with Mikdash, that was the Mishnah. Those seem to be two completely different issues, although they do relate to Tumah at least. Yisha b'nida Tumata. Some din in Tumah, a Shiyah in Tumah, maybe. Okay, all of these things now remain up in the air with this take. Now the next thing that we had in the Mishnah, which incidentally does ultimately turn out to be a question of Shiyah, as we're going to see, or at least we're questioning whether it might have to do with Shiyah, is the halacha of taking the long road home. So if you take the long road out, you're chayiv, you take the short road out, you're potter. It's not clear whether that's a din in the amount of time or it's a din in the actual road. If this has to do with Shiyah, then it should be a time element. It would take too long to go out even though you're going out. That's also called a Shiyah. It's an extension of the din of Shiyah. But it might be completely new halacha, which is the path that you take.
I mean, the Shiyah asked the question, it was like your question, what happens if in the shorter way you see
that's it? What we're going to raise now. So Omar Rava, when we say Kitsura, and we talk about Kitsura, as long as how long it takes you to get out of the Kitsura. So if you want to walk through the Derech HaKitsura, and you want to put now your heel in front of your toe, and you keep doing this, and it takes you 3 weeks to get out, that's fine. Afilo akev bitzad gudal. Afilo kol hayom kula. I don't care how long it takes you. As long as you are taking the shorter road home. Boy Rav. How about if, between each step, if you end up over the course of these 3 weeks being shohev, you add up all of those little moments, could you be mitzarif them into one long shiyah? So even if you're walking on the road, you'd still, and here's the first attempt to relate the din of shiyah at least to walking on the road. Because there's an element of shiyah while you walk. Could I be mitzarif those shiyot into one long shiyah? Or is a shiyah from moment A till moment B, and not a tziruf of all the moments from A through Z? That's my question, my first question.
Same day or over the period?
Over the period of the halicha. So what's the din in that? Says, wait a minute. Why is he asking that? If he himself said you could spend the whole day, I mean, surely in the amount of the whole day, there's enough shiyas that it would take the amount of time of ishtach havoya. What are you talking about? He took 12 hours. You're telling me he couldn't get 10 seconds in 12 hours of a tziruf of shiya? So Rav is already included in his halacha that shiyot are not mitztarfot. No, it says Gemara. Let's just see that inside. Ask the Gemara, how could he ask that question? Tifshad lemi didei? I mean, isn't it inherent in his own statement that they're not mitztarif? No, says the Gemara, absolutely not. Maybe Rava was referring to a case, but a lo shah at all. It was a continued movement. It was never any time that he took, other than it was necessary to put his foot down and lift up his next foot. So my question is, what happens if he takes time to lift up his next foot, but it's only a tenth of a second? Does that mean that every 10 steps we add 1 second to the shehiya? That's my question.
Now, if he's on the way out and it's very crowded,
it's oh, I'm on my way, I know I am.
And it's real crowded.
So you said, is it a Shia? Does the Shia have to be amazing?
Or is he supposed to knock them down?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. We haven't raised the issue of Shia per se, whether that's a good question.
Shia means to hesitate?
Yeah. I mean, the seer of Shia would be to hesitate.
To go slower than you could.
No. To not move for a moment.
Yeah. Very slow.
You can go as slow as you want. Boy, mina abaya mi rabba. How about if balo ba'aruka shiur kitzaramahu? How about if you took the long way home, but you did it at a run? So it took you less time to take the long way than it would have taken you to take the short way. Now, lechora, from Rava's statement, we already know the answer to that, correct? Because, I mean, if it were a function of time, then enachinami, he already said, we don't care the time, so it's obviously a din in the road. Therefore, says Rashi, make very certain that you read this as Rabba, meaning Rabba bar Nachmeni, that Abaye was asking, and not Rava, because Rava, we already know what he holds. Now, as Ramati has just asked, there may be other issues. It's not so clear that this is true only according to Rabba. Because the question over here would be, and what about in a case, and indeed the Ritva is Geris Rav? Because it can work out according to Rava. Because what about in a case where there are reasons for not taking that path? So I want to go out this path, and I have now an option of getting out quicker, because there's less traffic on this path than there is on that path. So maybe over there I'm selecting the most efficient means. So maybe it's did an efficiency. Okay, that is a separate issue. Rashi doesn't hold it, that's the question. Rashi's the question is not, is the din in the path a din in efficiency? Rather, the din in the path is a din in time. Therefore, it can't be asked from Rava, because he already told us. It's not a din in time, it's a din in path. All right, this is Rashi's approach. You can certainly see that there's another way to read it. Again, the Shaila is Shiur Gemira. Shiur seems to be the amount of time that it would normally take to traverse. So that's my question. So do we say it's that din in time, and therefore as long as you didn't take longer than that, who cares how you went? So v'chibalo ba'aruka shi'ur k'tzara, you'd be potter. Otoma dafka, gemiri, maybe. The halacha namashmi Sinai is as stated. Balo ba'aruka chayav, b'k'tzara patur, and I don't care how much time. To which Rava replied, Amar le, Lo nitna aruka yidachot etzlo. Just because this guy has his own approach to what may be more efficient, or has his own approach to taking things at a run, that doesn't give him the right to be doche. And this lashon is more mashma like Ramati's question. He's saying yidachot. I'm asking yidachot. I'm simply asking. Is this the halacha or not? There was a reason I want to be doche the yisur of the aruka. The language is a little bit strange unless there's a reason to want to be deicha the yarucha, which means that I have the feeling that this way is more efficient. Okay, but in any event, it's clear that he is saying, Rabba, that the issue over here is the path and not the time, or the path and not the efficiency. Matkif la Reb Zeir. Until now, we've been talking about two completely different worlds. A world of Shehiya and a world of paths, going out the long way, the short way. We clarified now, there's no way of confusing a time element with the path element. In which case, the Shehiyot can have nothing to do with the path that you take. Two different issues. Says Rabbi Zera, I have a fatal question to that approach. I maintained that there's got to be an element of time in the issue of the path. Why? Because the Shehiyah that the Torah gives us needs to be construed as including within it the amount of time that it's going to take you to get out. It can't be that there's a Shehiyah that doesn't include that amount of time, and I'll prove it to you. If you tell me that we have two different worlds, a world of Shehiyah, and then the clock stops at the Shehiyah, and now we enter into a new question of what path am I taking to get out? And I don't care how quickly I traverse that path or how slowly I traverse the path. It never changes. So that means we have one time consideration and one space consideration. The two can't be confused. Then you will have no way of explaining to me how you will ever have a case of a tummy. Somebody came tummy, a Kohen becomes tummy in the Beit HaMikdash. He goes now and he does the Avodah. And it says over there, if he does the Avodah, he's chayev mita b'dei shamayim. I say to you, he will never be chayev mita b'dei shamayim, because he's always going to be chayev more than that. Because since it takes time to complete the avodah, he's also, anyway, being as his tamei, going to be over on the time element of staying in there b'dei shehiyah. Now, if I am right, and that is that the spatial consideration of the path takes into consideration the time that it takes to cross that path, I have a solution. A guy goes ahead, becomes Tameh, goes over to the Mizbeach, does Aveda. The clock has started to tick. It is now the amount of time of Hishtachavoya. But he can make up for some of the lost time. He breaks into a run and gets out of the Beit HaMikdash so that the aggregate time is less than it would have taken him for a Shehiyah plus the amount of time to get out. And every Shehiyah must include the amount of time to take out, I'm saying, says Rabbi Zeir. Then it makes perfectly good sense, assuming that he got out more quickly. So now he made up for the time factor. But according to you, who says there is no time factor once the clock starts ticking, stops ticking on the Ishtar Havayah. Time factor is over. Now we're interested in a space factor. So then you have no explanation. There's no way to ever be chayev only mitabite shamayim without also automatically having incurred the yisur karet of staying inside. That's a brilliant question. There's got to be an overlap of time and space here. Otherwise, forget it. Let's see that inside. Matkif lo Rabbi Zeir. According to your approach, Ella de Kaimalan, we have a standing halacha, which is a Tomei who does the Avodah is chayev mita b'dei shamayim. I challenge you to explain to me, hechi mashkachadla, where is such a thing possible? Idolo shahafid, if the clock has not ticked long enough to tick off a shiur of Shehiyah, how did he do the Avodah in such a short time? Remember that a Shehiyah is just seconds, about the time it takes to get down on the ground. Either Shaha, but if he did the amount of time of the Shehiyah, he's automatically already a Bar Karetu. Now, if we agree, gentlemen, that you are wrong and I am right, and that the amount of time that it takes you to get out of the Azara is included as part of the equation of Shehiyah, and it's not just a function of space, it's the amount of time it takes you to traverse that space, there's a simple solution. The solution is run. So, Iyamit Bishlama, that this is a din in the shiur of time, Gemira. So, Mashkachasla, the Onis Navshe Biktsara. What happens is that he ran on the short path, not on the long path. So, he got out faster than is ever the norm to get out. So now, if I take into consideration the time that he made up by running, so now it turns out that he didn't complete the din of Shehiyah, in which case he was Eved the Aveda very quickly. So Anish Nafshe B'Kitzara V'Avad Avodah. But according to you, that it's Dafka Gemira, Liyama Dafka Gemira, it's a din in the path and not in the time. You explain to me how the heck the guy did Aveda without Shehiyah. Eichem Hashkachatla. Come on, logistical questions, silliness. Well, my kush, what's the problem? The guy is walking, okay? As a matter of fact, he's not even taking 1 second to do the avoda. He's walking out, and on his way out, passes by the Mizbeach, which is on his shortest path out, and there's a fork that is stuck into a piece of meat on the Mizbeach, and as he's walking, he flips the piece of meat. And that's avoda, as we'll see in a moment. So my kash, because your babik tzarah, let's take the shortest way home, ve'afach b'tzinura, he turns a fork upside down, flipping a piece of meat, k'ravuna. Yom ravuna zor sha'afach b'tzinura, chayav mita. So in the same way that a zar who does that is considered to have done the avoda, and is chayav mita b'dei shamayim, so too is a kohen tamei who does that, doing avoda, chayav mita b'dei shamayim, without the slightest Shia whatsoever. Logistical questions are always a poor way of proving your point, he says to Reb Zera. Gufa. Let's just take a look at that. How does that work, that that's considered to be avoda? Amar Rav Huna, Zor shafach b'tzinara chayav mita. How is that? Hechidami. If you're telling me that without having flipped that piece of meat, it never would have been burned on the Mizbeah, so then you did the whole barbecue. I mean, obviously, that's avoda. What's the Kiddush? So, either lo afach la lo miachle at all. Pshita that that's avoda. You brought the meat on the Mizbeach, basically. Vida lo afachbu, na mi miachli. And if you hadn't flipped it, it would have barbecued anyway. So then, my carpet, what did you do? Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what the Chiddush is. Lo tzrichati lo afachbu miachli betarti shoy. It would have ultimately been burned on the Mizbeach. And of course, barbecuing on the Mizbeach requires a complete burning. And it would have meant it would have taken 2 hours. Now that you did the flip is going to get it burned in 1 hour. Vahash, because you explode. What's the matter with you? You never did a barbecue? Where'd you grow up? In Deal?
Yeah. But we could still burn it fast. What's the difference? One side.
You burn it faster when you turn it upside down and you expose the unburnt part to the fire.
That's cooking, that's not burning.
That's called burning. Hash te mechachle bechach ata. Now you burnt the other side. Yeah, meat. If not, you're talking about imurim, whatever it is. The chiddush is, in fact, that getting things done more efficiently, quickly, is also considered to be an avodah. That's exactly the point. You know, about this issue, because what has happened here, very interestingly, is that we have now distinguished between entry and remaining, right? So entry has its own rules. It's the coming in, per se, which is the issue. Remaining has its own rules. Remaining too long has its issue, correct? That's fascinating, because there are other places where this is true, where the Torah talks about entry. Now, interestingly enough, one of those cases is the Nida case. Lo tavo, which means don't enter. How about if you didn't enter? How about if the woman becomes a Nida while you've entered? That's exactly why the Gemara, the Mishnah puts the two cases together. How about a house that has tzarat in it? It says over there, haba el habay. You walk into that. How about if you don't walk into the house? How about if you're transported into the house with a Star Wars transporter? Or an easier case, not everybody's chased by the aliens all the time. The Klingons, they're after our president for years now. How about if instead of transporting into the house, you walk in backwards? Now, walking in backwards is not a typical but. So I would say, and I want to say this, but I'm embarrassed. I know I'm going to be attacked. And I'll explain to you why I'm going to be attacked. But I wanted to say, and once I, of course, admit that I am embarrassed to say it, no one will attack me. Because I'm going to already now tell you that I'm aware of the attack, so now I don't have to be embarrassed. This is always the way the Gemara does it. If I want to say something that's embarrassing, I, as they say in Yiddish, farvorn. I warn you in advance that I'm going to say, so then already you can't say anything, right? So, be'ina de amina milta, I would like to suggest something. Except, mistafina michavra, I'm afraid of my friends here in the Beit HaMidrash. And what I would want to say was this. You're walking in backwards into a house that has a nega in it. Your entire body could have walked in. Just leave your nose out. And I would say you're tahor. Because it says haba el habayit. I'm walking backwards is not derech bia. Okay? And I'll tell you why I'm worried about my friends. Because I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, and what if you brought your nose in too? If you brought your nose in too, it still came in backwards. How did there get to be a new halakha of being in the house if the issue was coming into the house? I'd explain that. So they're going to ask me, Ihachi kulo nami. I maintain personally that there's two different issues over here. There's a balabai, it's over there. Once you enter the house, you don't have to be entirely in the house. You've come into the house. I'll already be tamed. I say there's a different issue of being in the house. Where does the being in the house come from? Amar Rava, I'll tell you. How about if there were dishes in the house, okay? Doesn't the Torah say if there were dishes in the house that the dishes are tamed? Sure, it says kol asher babayit. So if that's the case, if you're in the house, but then you need to be truly in the house. So kulo lo garami kelim shebabayit. Because when it comes to kelim shebabayit, the Torah says, make sure you get all the stuff out of the house before the Kohen announces that it's tamei, because lo yitma kol asher babayit. We want to make sure that it doesn't all become tamei. So apparently, even though it was just sitting in that house, it would become tummy. You see, Tanya Namiyaki, in fact, we can prove that there is a halacha that corroborates what Rabbi Shaya suggests, that the mode of entry, where there's a din of entry, is essential. Because it does say, Gagin halalo, Ein ochlin sham kochei kadashim, ein shochtim sham kachim kalim. So there were roofs that were there for shading over the stadium area around the Azara. And those have no halacha of Kedushat HaAzara. The top of the roof was not included in the Kedusha of the Azara. You could watch. The stadium. Understand, Jews have an opportunity to make money for tickets and they're not going to make money for... What's the matter with you? The style, lifnim mistau. And what's more, and here's the part that's important, tamei shenichnas gerech gagin lehecha. If you lowered yourself through the roof, then even if you went into the hecha, you'd be potter. Shenema vela migdash lo tavo. Derech Biyas Ratorah. Wow! So that is exactly what Rav Hoshaya himself suggested, that there's a din in the derech in which such a thing is achieved. And that is indeed...
There's no Shaila
flowing
in.
There's no Shaila, huh?
The flow suspended that we have.
Yeah, no, that's something else. That's something else. This is Derech Biyah. Then there's the other question. Once you land, how long you could stay there? That's a different issue. By helicopter.
Give it to the chimney.
You walked up on top of the roof and you lowered yourself down with a rope or a helicopter. However it is you manage it. My dear President, it doesn't matter at all. The Klingons dropped you there. All that's important is you didn't get enter through the door into the Azara. We don't really care about the logistics. You can do that any way you like. But it was not the normal derech bia into the Beit HaMikdash. The next step that we have in the Mishnah is Zoi mitzvat aseh shebimikdash she'in chayavin aleha. So this is a very strange language. And this is, what do you mean this is? Was there some reference to a mitzvah that you're not chayav on, that now we're coming with our Mishnah to explain? And by the way, I'll bet you've been wondering what that mitzvah is. Well, here it is, ladies and gents. Zohi mitzvah hechikoy. I said, what was the Tana thinking about when he starts explaining something that nobody ever had as a question? That now he's presenting to you the famous mitzvah taseh shebimigdash she'in chayavin aleha, that if a Beit Din makes a mistake, there's no din of par he'alim davar, not on the mitzvah taseh, not on the mitzvah lotas, and mitzvah lotas, I understand, is lo yitamut machaneihem, don't enter betuma. Why does a Beit Din that makes a mistake about that not bring a par he'alim davar shal tzibur? Because the Beit Din only brings a par he'alim davar on something that should be chayav a chatat kavua. And this is a Chatat Olevi Oreb, which is not Kavua, no din of par alam davar shel tzibur. As to the Asei, the Beit Din is never going to bring a par on an Asei. Okay, very good. But where does it say this? There is such a thing. Where does it say that? Where does it say that? It does say it. The Tana Hatamkoi, it's going actually in the Mishnah, in Huriot, where over there it's defining what type of korbanot does the Beit Din bring in cases of error, where the Tzibur followed their error. So it says over there, Ein chayavin al aseh v'alo taseh, shebimigdash, ve'in mevin asham taloi, nor does an individual bring an asham taloi on a doubt of tumah on aseh, and lo taseh shebimigdash, for the same reason, that you do not bring an asham taloi on anything but that which would have been b'chayav you, a chatat kavua, and not a korban olav yored, aval chayavin al aseh v'alo taseh shebinida, now the Mishnah there doesn't explain. What do I mean by the Esa and the Lotasa of the Migdash? What do I mean by the Esa and the Lotasa of the Nida? Comes along our Mishnah to explain. The comma. Zohi mitzvat aseh shebe migdash, meaning you didn't go out quickly enough. That's a mitzvat aseh. But nonetheless, Beit Din would not be chayav on it. She'in chayavin aleha. What now, continues the Mishnah, is the mitzvah taseh shebinida, shechayavin aleha. Now this is very problematic, because the truth is no mitzvah taseh shebinida, that you're chayavin aleha. The Mishnah has made it appear that there would be an iser of sleeping with a nida, not doing anything. And the Mishnah itself belies that. There is no such thing as passive intercourse, remaining inside of a woman and doing nothing. That's not called intercourse. Now, it looked as if that was what the Mishnah was trying to say, but then the Mishnah goes right ahead and says, well, we don't really mean that. What we mean is that we couldn't care less whether a thrust is entry or a thrust is exit. The point is an erection, and that's all that matters. You're going to have to wait until you lose your erection. That's all that we're concerned about. But if that's the issue, then we're really not talking about something that's the equivalent of a mitzvah taseh at all. This is problematic in the Mishnah. And that's why the Mishnah wants to say we only mean through a loose comparison to the issue of the Mikdash. We're in the Mikdash. Going out of the Mikdash in the long way home is the equivalent of going out of a woman with an erection. But obviously the issue over there is the act, not the passivity. So even though it appears on the surface to be the same, but it's really two completely different issues. Because when it comes to the Mikdash, what we're talking about is the fact that you didn't get out fast enough. What we're talking about with the Nina is the fact that you did get out fast enough. So in a way, they're opposites. Nonetheless, this is considered to be what was meant by the Mishnah in Huriot. And that's what it's referring to. So this now, what is the case of the mitzvah taseh shebinida, that you are chayvin aleha? Ayam mishamesh miyatorah, v'amra lo nitmeti, upiresh miyad, then it would be chayev. Mipnei shiz yitziyato, hana'alo kebiyato. The point being that there's no reason for us to define a sexual relationship as one directional. And that's a swara. You say, where did the Torah say such a thing? I don't need the Torah to say such a thing. Since, by definition, that is what is called an act of intercourse, why would there be a difference that we should take literally the word of ba'al anida, that you're only chayev in one direction? That's just silliness. So Mamela it's a davar poshet that there would be a chiev b'yitziyato.
We're gonna
have to zero in on, but it obviously is not a mitzvah taseh. It's not, and that's why we are about to clarify that in such a case, you could be chayev two things. One for knisa, and then having found out that your knisa was wrong, you now know you've been sleeping with a nida. She says to you, whoops, now it's too late. We don't assume there's one instant in which you could stop and now you haven't done anything wrong. Exactly. But you've been continuously sleeping with her, no? So that's the question. Why would you not be chayv twice? So that's the question. If the Knisa was Beseder, so then what are we talking about over here, Bichlal? there's always going to be an issue of the Knisa. The issue of the Knisa is, why were you here at the wrong time? And that's what we're about to raise this issue. Let's take a look at it inside. Ijmar, Abaya Amar Bishmeid Ruchia Barav, the truth is, Chayev Shtayim. You're really going to be Chayev twice in this case if you exited too quickly. V'cheinu Amar Rav Amar Rav Shum Bar Shva Amar Rav Huna, Chayev Shtayim. But the Shtayim would be one Aknisa and one on the Prisha. That's the point. Haviba Rava. So Rava asked on the Rava and on our Girsa, what is the case over here? Which is what our president just asked. What is the case? I didn't do anything wrong, did I? At the time, why am I chayav for the kedisa? Bemai. Are we talking about ilema somuch levesta? Now we're talking about over here the guy knew perfectly well that he had no right to sleep with this woman because at any moment she was going to become anida. And this is the time that she normally gets her period. So what's he doing here? And what are we talking about? A Talmud Chacham who knows that he is not allowed to sleep with a woman. Somoch levesta. Okay. I can explain away the fact that he's chayev a korban, and it's not viewed as a chatat, rather as a chatat, a shogeg. Why? Well, you knew you shouldn't have gone in. Well, okay, but there's no iser of a karet on taking a chance now, is there? So certainly there's no iser karet on sleeping with a woman, sabat levesta. It's aser, but it's not a chiv karet. So why then is he chayev? He assumed, kasavar yecholani liv'ol. He figured, I'll have a chance to finish this act of intercourse and everything will be fine. And that was a mistake. He didn't have that chance. Now, some of the Achronim explain that what we're talking about over here, because this doesn't make any sense. Why would he have thought that? In other words, if someone levesta means at any moment she's going to be roya, so then that means he's just an idiot. What do you mean, you thought? In other words, it was all a question of the gamble. But then that means that you knew exactly what you were doing. There must have been a reason for you to have thought. So for instance, it's talking about a case where normally this woman would only see over a period of days. So, but you could trigger a re'ia with intercourse. So what he figured was that he's going to be very gentle. And he's not going to trigger. But he did. So he did have a basis for kasava yocholani livol, and then it turns out he's not as soft as he thinks he is. So yocholani livol, and therefore he's, whatever the case is, that's already detailed as to why that's not already a mazy type of activity. So what we're talking about is not the chiyah for the etzem sleeping with a woman at the time, samach levesta, but rather for the fact that since during the course of that intercourse she became anida, you knew perfectly well that you had no right to do that. And, okay, so then you're chayav. But if that's the case, I don't understand why you're chayav on the prisha. Assuming that the guy's a Talmud Chacham, what the heck was he doing exiting with an erection? He knows he's not allowed to do that, so that's not a shogeg. Because he knows the din, right? So now prisha may be chayav. You're saying he's chayav twice. So then, at that point, he's a mezid. Why did he do that? Mezidu. If it's talking about an Am Haaretz, so then, it's the same thing. He doesn't know anything about this. All he knows is, well, if you know a woman's anida, you know how to sleep with her. I don't know about this business of erections. I don't know about this business of samach levesta. Never heard of it. Okay? You never heard of it. So then it's one shogeg. It's basically, ochal shnei zeitei chelev behelam echad. Certainly no two separate isurim nida. You were over the issue of nida. Entry, exit, it's all the same thing. I don't care how long you slept with her. I don't care how many thrusts you thrust with her. See, it's irrelevant. One issue, one korban. So then it would only be behelam echad. How are you chayav on two? I don't understand how we end up with two separate acts of onus. And if we're talking about b'she'en samuch levesta, it is not any time near her vest. So then there's an ones, right? Going in is an ones. Why would I think she'd become a nida? So b'ma, if he's a Talmud Chacham, then he's not chayav anything. Because for going in, he's an ones. For going out, he's amazing. So I don't understand at all. Then, lo chodolo mechayev, haknis is an ones, and the prisha is a mezid. If he's an ama aretz, so fine. So he didn't know this thing about prisha. Chodolo mechayev, a prisha. How do you explain a case we'd be chayev to? Honor Amarava. You know what? What's the problem? Let's go back to the original scenario. It's Somach Levesta. He's a Talmud Chacham. He thought he would be able to boil. And you know what? He's a Talmud Chacham Lazuv, a Talmud Chacham Lazuv. Some people know some things that don't know everything. I know most people, you know everything. But this guy, he only knows about Somach Levesta. He doesn't know that it's more Kedai. As a matter of fact, most people that you would ask, what do I do if my wife suddenly tells me she's an Ida? They'll think, get out as fast as you can, which is not the case. So how many people have the presence of mind to say, stop? So, okay, so in that, he didn't analyze what he was doing now. To think about the Prishan, Alokabiyato, all he's interested in is getting out of an Ida. And that turns out to be a separate shoge. Because he already knew that he was over. The moment she said, I'm an Ida, he knew that he was over now, up until this point. Now, there's a new act. So that's not called the same Isser. Because there's a yediyah in between. As far as the etzem iser of Somach Levesta, that's not an iser. That's b'chayav karma. So b'meila, everything makes sense, and we don't have a problem. Boy, Rava, tzarech shehi alamalkot, or ain't tzarech shehi alamalkot? L'korban gemir shehi alamalkot, lo gemir shehi. Odel ma b'fnim gemir shehi. Lo shana l'korban, lo shana teva. Boy, Rava, tolatz ma b'avir azara ma, ki gemir shehi shehi. The batish takava, the lav batish takava lo gemirin. Odom a bifnim shia gemirin. Lo shna batish takava, lo shna the lav batish takava. Take. Boy Ravashi, timei atzmo bemezid. Ma, ba onis gemirin shia bemezid lo gemir shia. Odom a bifnim gemir shia. Lo shna ba onis, lo shna bemezid. Take. Boy Ravashi, nazir bekever. Boy shia la malkoto in a tzarek. Bifnim gemir shia b'chutz lo gemir shia. Odim ba'onis gemir shia lo shna bifnim. Lo shna b'chutz. Take. Bolo baruchah chayav b'ktsara patur amarava. Ktsara shamro afilo akev b'tzad gudal afilo kol hayom kulo. Boy rova. Shiyot mao shiitztarfu. What do you mean? Tivshat lebi didei? No. He's talking about b'da lo shah at all. Boy min habayim miraba. Bolo baruchah shiur ktsara mao. Shiur gemirei? V'chibalo baruchah shiur k'tzara potur, od yom adafka the road gemirei, baruchah chayav, b'k'tzara potur. Amar lo, lo nitna aruchah le'idachot etzlo. Makiz lo rebizera el dekaim alay. Tom, esh ishim esh b'mita, hechi mashkachata. Ida lo shaha, hechi yavid avada. Ida shaha, bakareto. Tzi yavid bishlam shiur gemira mashkachata da onis nafshi b'k'tzara. The avad avada. I don't get the question. My kusha mashkachat agon shababik tzara vafach betzinura k'ravuna de Amar Ravuna zor shavach betzinura chayav mita gufa Amar Ravuna zor shavach betzinura chayav mita echidon ida lo afach lalo miachle at all pshita ida lo afach buname miachle. So what was he doing? Lo tzrichadi lo afach lalo miachle betartishar vahashta miachle becholashat. The truth is, I'd like to say something. I'll tell you what I would like to say, but of course you didn't hear this. I'll tell you why I'm worried. Because the Yachid, they're going to say, why not Kulo Nami? Omarava, well, I'm a Chavraya, I don't see it as a problem. Kulo Logarami, Kalim Shababayit, Dichtib, Veloyatama Kola Shababayit, and he is certainly just as bad as the Loyitma of the Kalim. Tanami Yachid, Gagin Alalo Enoch Lincham Kochek Kodoshim, Ein Shochatim Sham Kochim Kalim, Tomei Shenichnas Derek Gagin Lecha Potter, Shenemar Alamigdash Lo Tavo, Derek Biasra Torah, exactly what Rav Hoshaya was saying. Zohi mitzvah taseh shmim migdash, she'en chayavin ala aseh. Hechi koi to come at Zohi. Hatam koi. En chayavin ala seva lo taseh shmim migdash, ve'en mevin asham talui ala seva lo taseh shmim migdash, aval chayavin ala seva lo taseh shmim nida, ומביאים השם טוב על הסבל לא תעשה שם נידה. וכאומר, זוהי מצוות עשה שבנידה שאין חייבין עליה. ואיזו מצוות עשה שבנידה שחייבין עליה? I am a shamesh mitorah. I'm not only to meet you. Pirish miyat. Chayav. Mimdesh yitziyato. Hana alo. Kebiyato. Itvara. Bayam rishved rukhiya barab. Chayav shtayim. Chenum rov amr shumabar shvo. Amr vuna. Chayav shtayim. Chodak nisa. Vechodak prisha. Avi bo rab. Okay, understand HaKadisa L'chayev in a case where he figured Yecholani Livov, but the Prisha is amazing, basically. So by L'chayev, amazing. We're talking about an Amma Oretz. So he's a Shogeg on both, and it's the same Shogeg. Idi. It's the equivalent of Ochel Shnei Zeitei Chelev Ve'ela Mechado. Ve'ela B'she'in Samuch L'Vesta. And again, B'man. He wouldn't be chayev anything. The Knisa is anonymous. The Prisha is amazing. If he's an Amoritz, he's chayev on the Prisha. Other Amorav, Yolam is some Muglevesta. Ubatamit Chacham. Ubatamit Chacham lezo, vein Tamit Chacham lezo.